بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله الحمد لله نستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهدي الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له، ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، ونشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم. قال تعالى في قرآن المجيد: أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، خلق الإنسان في أحسن تقويم. قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم: عليكم بالسنة والسنة الخلفاء الراشدين المهديين. قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم: أبو بكر في الجنة، عمر في الجنة، عثمان في الجنة، علي في الجنة، أو كما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام. Respected علماء اكرام، brothers in Islam, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed us with iman. And the difference between our iman and Sahaba's iman is that Sahaba's appreciated value of iman. We do not appreciate value of iman because we have got iman on the plate. Sahaba ikram radiallahu ta'ala anhum ajma'in, to learn iman, to seek iman, to practice iman, to spread iman, to preach iman, to uphold iman, they gave their blood. Today, respected elders, to learn about iman, to appreciate iman, we are not prepared to spend our sweat also. That is why pro rata we get the results. That throughout the world, in so-called Islamic Muslim countries, or wherever they are Muslims, the kuffar, the mushriks, those who deny Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, those who reject Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, those who do not value the bounties and favors of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, these kuffar are beating us up. Whenever they want to, wherever they want to, they bomb us, they massacre us, they harass us, and they do it at their will and fancy. And Muslim countries, Muslim populations, we also, we cannot even say anything against it. Because of iman. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, addressing a gathering, said that I know of a person. I know his name. I know of a person. I know his father's name. I know of a person. I know his mother's name. I know of a person that when he passes by the 8 doors of Jannah, they call unto him that enter from whichever door you want to enter. Hazrat Salman Farsi radiallahu ta'ala anhu said, Ya Rasulullah, that person must have a high status in the eyes of Allah. That person must be a very dignified one, a noble one. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, yes. And he looked at Hazrat Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala and who said, he's Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala. Why? It is unanimous decision of all the scholars of Islam that Hazrat Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala and who is Khair al-Bashar Ba'd al-Anbiya. Every Friday you hear this in the khutbah, that he is the best of men after the Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam. What is the reason, respected elders? It is iman. Because of his iman, that is the status. He went with Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam to the cave. Migration. Hijrat. In the cave they stayed for 3 days. And they came out. Continued the journey towards madinatul munawwarah. Maulana Qasim Danoti rahmatullah alayhi, founder of Darul Uloom Deoband, during his time they had declared jihad and war against the British, and the British were looking for him. They had a warrant of arrest against him. They were seeking him, they want to apprehend him, they want to jail him, because he had literally, physically lifted up weapons against them. They told him, his disciples near him, his companions near him, told him that, Hazrat, go away for a few days. Hide away. He did so for 3 days. When he came out, the British were still looking for him. They were at his heels. They told him, why don't you hide for a longer period? He said, no. This is the sunnah of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. When the enemy were looking for him, when the Quraysh leaders were looking for him, when they had a reward on his head, then he stayed away for 3 days from their vision. And after 3 days he came out. Following the sunnah of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, there is barakat, there is khair, there is goodness. He stayed away for 3 days. I will also stay away for 3 days. And I will come out. And Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was safe. I inshallah will also be safe. One is following Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and one is having yaqeen that Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's way will give us salvation. Hazrat Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu, towards the latter part of his life, he became blind. And when he should journey between Medina and Mecca, then he should request his companions that, are we at this particular spot? Then they said, yes. He should lower his head. They say, why do you lower your head at this stage of the journey? He said, when I traveled with Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, at this stage and at this point of journey, I saw with my own eyes Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam should bow down because there was a branch, there was a tree, and the branch should come across the road, and Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam should bow his head. They said, but Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is not with us anymore. He is no more. And the tree is no more, let alone the branch. He said, yes, I know that. But Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did it. I also do it because I want to make ittiba. I want to follow Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That is why sahabas are jannatis. Today the Quran is there. The ahadith are there. The sunnats are there. The wajibas are there. But what are we doing? Hazrat Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu ta'ala, on the same journey, he should alight, he should come out, and he should go to an area, and there he should go and make as if to say he's passing urine. And all the actions pertaining to passing urine he should do and come back. His companion should ask him, that you went and you did all that action, but you did not pass out urine. He said, yes. At this point, at this juncture, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam stopped and he went to pass urine there. I did not pass out urine. Why? Because I do not want my urine to fall where the urine of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam fell. This is ittiba of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and love of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam combined. Sahabis are jannatis. Hazrat Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu proceeds with Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and they enter into Madinatul Munawwara, and where the young girls sing that famous poem, Tala al-Badru alayna, that the sun has risen for us. Then Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam stays at Hazrat Abu Ayyub Ansari radiallahu ta'ala's house for 7 months. Hazrat Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala, who purchased a land, the first person to purchase a land for a masjid, Hazrat Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala. With his money, sole person. Then they constructed the masjid. But the masjid is not like ours. Not like those prevalent. 2 million, 3 million, 4 million, 5 million, now I've heard something's happening. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was constructing it. Sahabas were helping. All the Sahabas were present there. They were aiding, they were helping. Respected elders, that this is the Sunnah method of construction of an Islamic institute, of an Islamic project. That is why the masajids were full, because they built it themselves. They understood the value of the construction. Today, alhamdulillah, we are passing that phase in South Africa, like the Mughal Empire, structural Islam, building huge buildings. How easy it is, respected elders, construct a building, construct a masjid, when they come, you give one check, alhamdulillah, it's gone. The best method, the sunnah method, the approved method, the one that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves the most, is that we do it ourselves. Can we not pick up bricks? Can we not pass bricks? And amongst Muslims, in every locality, you will find someone is an architect, someone is a qualified bricklayer, someone is a quantity surveyor. Respected elders, huge, huge istimas take place in our country. Try to find out. Every istima has site plans, architectural plans, engineering plans, quantity survey plans. Every istima. Electrical plans, layouts. And who does all this? Muslims do all this. Who works there? Muslims. But when it comes to our projects, then we just hand it over, contract it, our masjids become pakka, our musallis all kacha, including me, in the first half. Those days the masjids were kacha, the musallis were pakka. To translate, those days the musallis, those who were attending the masjids, they were strong, they were solid. The constructions around them were weak, were able to fall down. Today our constructions are solid. We who are standing inside, we are weak. Respected elders, I'm not saying that this method of construction where we contribute and where we give our checks and our money, our monetary contribution, that you will not get sawab. You will be rewarded. And you will be rewarded so much that on the day of Qiyamah, you won't believe how much you will be rewarded. But the best method is that when we construct it ourselves, and when the brick falls on my foot, then inshallah I would not forget to come for Salat in that masjid. Any method which goes closer to the Sunnah, how Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam did it, has got more barakah. Any reformation process or program which goes nearer to the way of Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam will have more barakah. Any revival idea, concept, movement which goes closer to Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam's way, pattern and method will prove and will produce better results. That is why, respected elders, the Pehdal Jamaat, the Jamaat that walks around pro rata to any other work, any other movement, is most productive, has produced best results. Why? Because that is closest method where Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam did the work of Dawah and Tabligh. And before the construction of the masjid, when those who came, those Sahaba that came from Mecca to Medina, they are called the Muhajir, those who made Hijrah. And those in Medina are called the Ansar, the helpers. Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam addressed them. How many times he addressed them? Only once. And he told them, "O Ansar, you are the helpers. You help the Muhajirs who have come from Mecca. He made a pact. He declared brotherhood between the Muhajir and the Ansar. Then what happened, respected elders? See, Sahaba. Then what happened? Sahabi came and he told Hazrat Abdul Rahman ibn Auf, when Ansari came to him and said, "O Abdul Rahman ibn Auf, come to my house." And he told him, "I've got so many camels, half are yours. I've got so many sheep, half are yours. I've got so many properties, half are yours. I've got so many businesses, half are yours. I've got so many orchards, half are yours. I've got so many houses in the locality, half are yours."
Sahaba. Then he says him, that I've got two wives.
Respected elders,
I've got two wives. I'm going to call both of them in front of you. The one you like, the one you desire, you point out which one you like, which one you desire to marry. I will give her talaq. She can sit for iddah. You can marry her.
Sahaba.
You and I in that position, what we'll do? We've got two wives. The one you don't like, the one is throwing the pots and pans. You say, that one, take. That one is giving appeal. Take that one. Muslim these days, what he does? Okay, you got one wife, you got one legal wife, he's looking at other places. Where else can I water? Which field can I water? Respected elders, yeah, our hal. This is our hal. Then we want to help want the help of Allah Ta'ala. We want the nusrat of Allah Ta'ala. We want the mercy of Allah Ta'ala. How can we have mercy of Allah Ta'ala, help of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala when we behave like this? Sahaba Ikram radiallahu ta'ala and who stipulated what is Sharia, practiced upon Sharia. Everybody wants to know, how do I know I belong to Ahl Sunnah wal Jamaat? There are three sides of Ahl Sunnah wal Jamaat. Although there is a big discussion on that, but three basic ones let me give you. One is Fazilat al-Shaykhain. Number two, Hubb al-Tarafain. Number three, Masa al-Khufain. Fazilat al-Shaykhain, that we regard Hadrat Abu Bakr and Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu as most superior amongst the Sahaba. Hubb al-Tarafain, those who are sharing the sides, we love Hadrat Usman and Ali. We love and respect Hadrat Usman and Ali. Masa al-Khufain, in winter you see brothers wearing leather socks, which we call Moza. We make Masa on that. And the Shias, they don't even believe in all these three. That's why they're out of the Ahlus Sunnah wal Jamaat. Hadrat Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu, in the Battle of Badr, he comes to Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, his personal bodyguard of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is pleading to Allah ta'ala, Ya Allah ta'ala, do not destroy this Ummah. Do not destroy these band of soldiers. Who will be there to worship you? Hazrat Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he comforts Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He holds him and says, that do not weep and do not wail and do not cry. Allah has verily heard your dua. After Battle of Badr, one day he was having a meal with his son. And his son tells Hazrat Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu, O father, in the Battle of Badr, there was a time that you came under the sway of my sword. Your head, the son is saying, Hadrat Abu Bakr, that your head came under the sway of my sword. And I, having feeling that you are my father, I left you. I spared you. Hadrat Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu was eating. He left the morsel of food and he stood up and he addressed his son. And he said, O son, because in the Battle of Badr, Hadrat Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu was amongst the Muslims. His son was amongst the kuffar fighting against him. Hadrat Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu addressed him and said, that, O son, that if on the Battle of Badr, if you came once under my sway of my sword, I should have definitely chopped you. This is Islam. This is Iman. This is power of Islam. This is power of Iman. Islam, Iman comes to divide this. That I must stand on Islam. I must stand on Iman. I must stand on my principles. Come what may. So they say, no, I have to attend this un-Islamic wedding. If I do not go, then you know what the locality will say. I have to go to this intermingling of sexes function. If I don't go, what these relatives will say? Rishtidar kya kenge? I have to go to this neighbor who are having this very big do, this music function. Why? No, if I don't go, you know, neighbors write this, what they will do? What can they do? What can the relative do? What can the relative do? What can the neighbor do? What can the locality do? And you who please the locality and destroy Islam, you who please the relatives and destroy Islam, you and I who please everybody and destroy Islam in the process. Let's be realistic. When you're in trouble, when you're in financial trouble, when you're in some big problem, then who comes to help you? Who looks at you? That is why one person, when he was walking in the street, person told him, "Assalamu alaikum." He said, "I'll say it." Another person said, "Assalamu alaikum." He said, "I'll convey your message. I'll convey your message. I'll say it." Every time they greet you, we say, "Assalamu alaikum." We say, "I convey your message." Then in the evening, when he's counting his money, then he says, "You know, so and so gave you salam. So and so gave you salam. So and so gave you salam." So what's the problem? He said, "When I was a poor man, no one was greeting me. Now I became rich, everybody is greeting me. So what I do? Every time they greet me, I say, I convey the message. Because they're greeting my money. They're greeting my wealth. They're greeting my property. They're not greeting me." Respected elders, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us ability to strive how sahaba so. And inshallah, every one of us sitting here, every one of us has got a potentiality of becoming a good Muslim. No one must feel, no, that I haven't got the potentiality of becoming a good Muslim. Every reciter of the kalima la ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah can become a saint, can become a wali of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, can gain proximity to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. As you know, respected elders, there is no priesthood in Islam. That every individual sitting here, he can lift his hand and his dua can be accepted. Provided we have certain conditions. There's no such thing that only the Imam's dua is accepted, or only the Molana's dua is accepted, or only the Mufti's dua is accepted. No. Every one of us can plead before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and get our duas accepted if we emulate Sahaba, if we follow Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, if we love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Wa akhir da'wan alhamdulillah.